Broadcasting from the confines of an abandoned radio station in the secluded ghost town of High Strangeness. It's just outside of Area 51. And it's time now for full disclosure of the topics they told us were off limits. Hello, everybody. I'm Connie Willis. This is Coast to Coast AM, broadcasting from the KOA News Radio studios of iHeartMedia in Denver, Colorado. We're talking about home of, well, Colorado. You know what that means? It means the color red. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Colorado, the color red. It also has 222 state wildlife areas full of Bigfoot, by the way, and we'll hear more about that tonight. And also the only state in history to ever turn down the Olympics. Now, this was back in 1976, and they said it was due to the cost, the pollution, and the population boom. Well, if anybody knows anything about what's going on in Denver now, it hasn't stopped them. Holy moly. Well, tonight, a psychic profiler and a Sasquatch profiler? Yep, we're going to get that started. So time now to turn off the lights and join me for another interesting evening of conversation, much-needed education, and the chance that we might get a little closer to the truth of what lurks amongst us and what is beyond. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Coast to Coast AM. You're listening to Coast AM. Hi, everybody. I'm Connie Willis. Happy St. Patty's Day. I know a lot of you guys are celebrating tonight for that. And holy cow, is Uber taking advantage of that. Holy moly. Usually a $20 ride to here is a $44 ride tonight. That is just not cool at all. Man, talk about taking advantage. Isn't there laws against that? I think there are, but yeah, I guess anyway, we'll move on from that. Those of you that tune into me outside of Coast to Coast here, the best show on the world right here, Coast to Coast. But then when on your little off time of Coast, please tune me in over at my channel. And what I have done is I've actually kind of created something new recently. So I'd love for you to join me. It's bluerocktalk.com. I have a very new and very interactive website. Right now you can get in for free, because I'm still kind of building it up, so I'm letting you come in for free. So don't wait. I might change it in 24 hours, okay? But you go in there, and it's really cool because you can add your own evidence. You can add your own, whether it's audio evidence, an article of some sort, video evidence, any still shots. I got different topics in there. It doesn't matter what you're into. If you don't see your topic in there, let me know. I'll put it in. But I actually even think I have it set up to where you can add a topic. So it's really, I'm all about Blue Rock Talk with Connie Willis, Earth's Most Interesting Conversations. That's people, places, and things. So there's a lot of topics across the board. And so you can go in there and add and have a good time. And those of you that are there are called Blue Rockers. So it's a Blue Rocker community. And so I want you to go in there and have a good time. Now, I do have a side that's paid membership, and that's all those great videos that a lot of you guys know about, and that is like Bigfoot Friday, Far Out Thursday, coming soon, my Wasted Wednesday. I'm going to even do Chef Connie, where I'll do some cooking for you. I've got something called 7 Minutes in the Psychic Realm. That's with Carissa Hartley. It's really cool because you basically pay for a little mini reading, and then she, in 7 minutes, you're in that psychic realm, and she takes care of you. And so a lot of shows like that, you know, the same ones that you've seen before, but bigger and better and extremely interactive, where I bring you in on the show, not just with the live chat, but in on the show. And if you'd like to know more about it, well, then go over there to bluerocktalk.com and get in for free right now. But keep in mind that the videos, the classes, and the shows are all underpaid membership and subscription. But just all the great people. And thank you for supporting me, those of you that already have. That's so kind of you. As you know, I try to do it free for everybody for a while. Then at one point you go, all right, my lights went out. Time to put a little number on this. And just a reminder, too, I do speak at events. Thank you very much for those of you getting a hold of me. And I do MC, so thank you. I got one coming up for the International Society for Primal People Conference. That's in the end of April. That's in Washington. It's going to be a lot of fun. And the guy that we have on tonight, our first guest is going to be out there, so I'll get to meet him in person. That'll be neat. Now, let me tell you a little bit about our first guy. This is Brian Blant. All right. He was, and this is great. You know, we always tell you, we give a bio of our guest. And it's interesting because, we get the bio from the people. And I'll take them and I'll kind of turn it around to where I can speak it in a very nice conversational way. And then there's sometimes where I get it and I just have to tell you exactly almost word for word how they send it, because it tells so much about who they are and what kind of person they are and how they come across. So I think I'll do that for tonight. This is very interesting. I had asked Brian, hey, can you give me a bio? And this is what he sent, and I think it's really nice. So this is what he wrote. I love this. So Brian Douglas Blant was born October 16th, 1954, in the town of Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, during a well-documented storm, Hurricane Hazel. Isn't this great? You can already tell he's like this story guy, right? I love it. It just flows so beautifully. He has had a lifelong passion for the game of hockey. True Canadian there, right? And specifically the Toronto Maple Leafs. Totally Canadian, right? The Leafs, what? I got to talk to him about that. His interest in cryptids, and specifically Sasquatch, which is important to hear at this point, right? Also fermented in his young mind and continues to grow to this day. Now, a keen interest in the possibility and fascination of their existence has turned into a relationship with the very object of that interest. Things became much clearer, and an amazing journey got a serious kickstart in early 2012 when Brian was walking his two Chihuahua dogs on a popular trail on the local dikes. As he was walking, he glanced toward the mountains to his immediate right and felt a strong and undeniable pull. It was a feeling he would grow familiar with moving forward. Something or someone was calling him to the mountains, and to the mountains he went. Isn't that a great bio? Normally it's okay. I went to this school. I graduated this year. I have this PhD. I have, and people like me, we really try to pull that together to make it interesting. But he wrote one that was very interesting. So, Brian Douglas Bland, I want to welcome you, because I know you're a first-time guest here with Coast to Coast AM, and I also know you are a big Sasquatch lover, and I also know that we cannot say we can say it, but you're not fond of the Bigfoot word, which at that point is called the B word to a lot of people in the Sasquatch world. This is true. I've heard this quite a bit, and I also know that Brian claims he is very, very different from all the other Sasquatchers out there. So, Brian, welcome to the show, and tell me, why are you so different from the other Sasquatchers?
Oh, boy, that's a tough question to start off with, isn't it?
That's the biggie, baby.
I think maybe I'm just different generally, kind of a dreamer and have a great imagination or whatever, but I think why am I different?
There's
some really good people to tell me to go and introduce myself to them through my heart, which I did. And I was told early on that they were people, which I found out very early on as well. So I went in and treated them with respect, and they've reciprocated with just nothing but love and respect. So I don't know if I'm different, but I approach them in a very kind and respectful manner, I suppose, and I guess the results have been good.
Well, I know a lot of people look up to you because you are very, very good with figuring out the language of the Sasquatch and all the different ways that they do speak to us. Now we have, I guess there's quite a few, right? There's like glyphs, structures, mind speak. Is there three or is there more?
Are there more ways that they communicate with us?
Yeah. So we have glyphs, right? Structures,
yeah.
Glyphs, structure, mind speak. And
They'll also verbal, or they will also play thoughts in your head. I guess that's kind of like a mind speak, but it's a little...
Brian, I loved when I read that you had said thought placement. I found that very interesting.
Oh no, that's something that is just like second nature now with me, and them or whatever. Like it's kind of one of the ways that they will answer a question. I will get a thought pertaining to them or to something, you know, big and out there in the universe or something, which, you know, they're teachers of as well. And they will, I'll get the answer like immediately, often. Or sometimes it'll just be building to an answer somewhere down the road. But, they, you know, they will place a simple thought in my head. Like, for instance, I wondered if they left a glyph by my car. Okay, was one thing that happened one time. And it was just a random thought that came into my head. And I had just gone off for an hour hike or something and was just returning, and that thought came into my head. I wonder if I left a cliff by my car. And I got back to my car, and there, right by the door, was just an amazing glyph. Like, it was just like a, you know, what you would call a no-brainer. Like, it was quite intricate. And, you know, I learned over time that they would place those thoughts, and then they would show you, and that's one of the ways that they teach you. So it's a continuing thing, and you just get to recognize it.
When you say glyph, can you tell people what a glyph is?
Well, I guess technically they could even be the big things that are, you know, like up in the trees or whatever that you see, like the big asterisks, X's, stuff like that. I guess people have seen them, right? Like the structures and stuff.
Yeah, and that's what Brian's talking about is, like, they'll take a tree or a big giant limb and they'll make X's or the asterisk. They'll make these giant structures, but then they also do the... And to me, that's a structure when they're that big, but when they're tiny, to me, it's a glyph. But I guess you know, you're the expert guy in this. Are the glyphs also the giant structures? They're also glyphs? They're just big?
Well, they share a lot of the same symbols and whatever, so yeah, they have meaning and whatever too. So yes, they are. But you know, when I generally talk about glyphs, you know, when I first started talking about them and got into them, it was just the little ones that you find on the forest path or off trail or whatever. And they're little, for me, my favorite ones are little peel sticks, and they really stand out because they're kind of like, you know, quite white, and they stand out on the background of the brown forest floor or the green. And they form little designs, and you get to recognize them over time, what they are.
And you really do, Brian. I mean, you know, when I've gone out with different people along the way, it's amazing who knows what and, you know, how the different people think of those that go out and research. You know, again, you know, we have the kill and no kill. We have the people that believe that they are flesh and blood, and others that believe that, you know, they go in and out of dimensions, different things like that. But at one point, I remember people teaching me and talking about these glyphs, and they point down to something, and I'm like, what, there's some sticks. They're little broken sticks. I probably just stepped on that, you know. And they're like, no. And when you start learning about them and people point them out, you start seeing these little things that people call glyphs. And just so... to me, I mean, you're right. The peeled sticks, that makes a difference. And they do stick out more, and they are in very similar shapes. And I guess, are they symbols or are they words? And the reason that you are considered an expert, you've been kind of doing this and figuring these things out for what, over how many years have you been working on glyphs alone?
Well, since about 2012, when I first got the call to go to the mountains, whatever, the very next guy that I met was a guy, Randy Brisson, out, actually was a neighbor of mine. You know, there's a couple blocks up the road, and he was finding tracks in the snow and had quite a bit of experience with Sasquatch up in the area up here for quite a long time. So, yeah, that's how it started.
Well, some of these glyphs are like an inch. I mean, they can get that tiny, can't they?
Oh, yeah. And some of the really neat ones are the tiny ones, and they can get really intricate. And sometimes they can, I've seen where they'll have something woven under and over and under and over like three or four times. I mean, they're really quite intricate.
And that's the difference, folks. That's what you need to look for, is that kind of thing, because you're not going to see a lot of in and out and in and out things that are woven that just happen. Usually kind of just falls and falls and falls from the trees and, you know, just looks normal. So what we did was Brian sent like 15 pictures of some of these glyphs, and we have them on coasttocoastam.com, and they're featured. So if you guys go over there, he's going to go through the different ones just so you can have an idea. And we know a lot of you guys aren't able to look at this right now, so that's okay. He'll describe them so at least you'll have an idea of what it is to look for when you're out there. You know, Brian, as I was coming over in the Uber, I was talking to the Uber driver who is a hiker. And he was talking, you know, he was surprised to hear, oh, there's Bigfoot around. Like, man, they're everywhere. And I'd let him know that tonight you're going to learn what to look for, and you'll know. And these are a big sign that they're around.
The glyphs, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So you actually believe that the glyphs that are seen, and by the way, I see them now. At first I went, no, come on. You know, just give me a big foot. Let me find an imprint of the real Bigfoot foot in the sand or dirt somewhere, which is very hard. Everything's got to be just perfect to get that right. But then it's so much easier to find the glyphs and the structures. And they're now, are they messages to you and me who come across them, or are they messages to each other?
Well, I don't profess to know everything about what they are for them, because, you know, I mean, they can't communicate telepathically and whatever too, right? So sometimes you wonder why would they need to use gloves? So that's, you know, that's still something that I'm pondering, whatever. But at the same time, you know, you see a regular trail, and then there's a game trail or whatever that you see that they've been using, and it's well trodden down from use and whatever, and you'll see a direction glyph there quite often. You'll get to know what you're looking for, and it does seem like it's for them. So,
did you say a direction glyph?
Yeah, like an arrow or something, like a direction glyph. Like a, it looks just like an arrow or something, and it's pointing in a direction.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
And that does look like, I mean, that could be saying we're up here, but, you know, is it for them? I'm not sure if it would be for them. But, you know, I've learned that the glyphs for me are personal, so they're a tool. They're a teaching tool. I've learned a lot with them, like all kinds of stuff. We'll get a chance to go into all of it, but they will make the glyph according to what you think they mean, okay? So, for instance, A means my clan leader, R.E.
It means what? I'm sorry?
My clan leader, R.E., his glyph is an A. That's my meaning for it. So when they give me a message, most of them will be signed with A, which is from the clan of R.E. and whatever, or if the message is from him. They've got different letters for different clan members. They've got, it's whatever they, because they can read and place thoughts in your head. So they can design these according to what you're thinking, literally.
So when you,
fact, at least with me.
Okay. And when you say clan leader, who's that?
Well, you know, the clan leader, like the clan of the Sasquatch family up here. Although they don't really, as far as I'm concerned, they don't really distinguish one from the other or put one above the other or whatever. But, you know, for practicality, they still have to do certain things to function as a group, right?
Right,
so
right.
I guess
but
you
I thought
the overseer or the clan
okay.
leader.
Okay. You said one was a name, though. You gave one a name. Ari?
R.E., yes.
Okay. And that's your teacher, is that what you said?
Well, I don't know if I have one teacher per se. It seems like I've got a bunch of them, even some juveniles that are doing some funny stuff. So, and actually some good lessons as well. So, yeah, it seems like the whole family up here has kind of adopted me, and they've actually shown me that in gloves and stuff.
You know, I love it.
I was family with them and stuff. So, you know, it's those kind of messages, beautiful, heartfelt messages. Some of them, when you see them, you just, I literally just burst into tears because they've just been so powerful and so connected and so heartfelt. You know?
And those are the more important words that I like hearing that we'll talk about when we come back, and that is connected and pranksters as well, and teachers and clans. So we'll ask him what those mean, because that's very daily, typical talk to him. So here we are. It's Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here, along with Brian Blant. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. Connie Willis here discussing the language of Sasquatch and the spiritual Sasquatch with Brian Blant, who people know him very well as, and they look up to him as being really into the glyphs and being able to decipher the messages and the language. Now, Brian, one of the things I've noticed when I got into the world of Bigfoot, and I know that's the B word, it's so funny how people go, you know, as you go along and learn, you know where people are in the depths of their journey, right? And the steps of their journey. But one of the things, probably the first thing that I noticed that was so profound, and I think is the source in the big, and I'll say, sorry, now I feel conscious, subconscious, you know, I got a little conscious about this now, I'm sorry. Now in the Sasquatch world, I want to be respectful to you there. To me, the source of every bit of it is all about relationships. You know, if you're into the ghost world, all right, you know, there's ghosts that come and go, and you can get into all sorts of different things in the ghost world, the demonology part of it, the psychic mediumship, all sorts of stuff. When you get into the UFO world, okay, you've got lights in the sky, and then, you know, some people just stay with the lights in the sky and the facts and all that kind of stuff and really get deep into it that way. Then other people take the jump into the alien world, and they will, you know, hybridization projects that they're here for to save us. No, they're not here. They're fallen angels. There's all these different things in all these different worlds. However, the one, to me, that is the most, I find it the most fascinating. I study them all, and I kind of get pulled into them. It's not like I choose it. It seems to choose me, just like you. But I have found out that the world of the hairy people, it's all about relationships, a connection. Mm-hmm. It's all about love. I mean, for real. And now I'm not totally where you are yet, where they're all nice and kind. I really think they have different personalities, and I think there might be one having a bad day, and I don't want to meet a 12-footer having a bad day, right? But that to me has been the single most thing that I have found is a relationship. And I got to tell you, Brian, you know, women, we love a relationship, right? We love love, but this is where I've seen guys that are Mr. Macho, hey, you know, I'm in the woods all the time. They love the relationship they have with their Sasquatch, almost probably more than the woman back home. What do you think of that?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, yeah, I mean, some of the women back home, Laura, I mean, they connect you with people. It's all about connection, right? So the woman
yes.
they connected me with is on the same page as me. So...
Oh, well, that's, yeah, that's after you've met them. Yeah, exactly, right. But it's this relationship, though. But you know that, like you know, like we all have relationships with each other, you want to have that relationship with these beings out there in the woods. Yes or no?
Oh, absolutely. It's incredible, yeah. I mean, we've been out there drumming for them before and stuff, and... You know, and we're drumming away, and then all of a sudden, we actually had a little video, and I don't know if you can hear the third drummer, but we both jerk our heads around. We're playing our native drums, and we could hear one of the hairy folk playing with us. And later that day, they left us a glyph with some feathers and some axes, which are friendship welcome, and they represented us. And it was a glyph about family and how we're family to them and how they love us and whatever. So,
yeah, relationship.
That's an example of the relationship that I have with them, and Randy Brisson, my mentor up here, has with them. And you know, whoever they choose to have that kind of relationship with, that's what I treasure. Yeah, of course I do. To answer your question, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I've noticed too. You know, they choose you.
Absolutely.
You don't choose them.
Well,
they
mean,
choose you.
Let me tell you how it all kind of started. Well, I mean, I had a few things as a kid, but I won't get into them, but they were separated by many years, but I can see that they were kind of precursors to this. But as far as the Sasquatch went, I'm walking, you know, like I said, I'm walking with my dogs along the dikes in my hometown here. Suddenly I look off into the mountains, off to my right, I believe it was, and there was just something, a strong pull telling me that I had to get up into those mountains. It was so strong. You know, and now I've come to recognize what that is, but that was the first time I kind of felt that. It was a psychic impression, I guess, or something, but whatever. It was a thought impression, whatever you want to call it. It was very, very strong, and I had to get up there. And then I met, like I said, my mentor, Randy Brisson. I met Tom Cantrell, who you know very well. I met a bunch of other people. They connected me with my girlfriend. They connected other people to me. It's all about connections with them.
It is. Yeah, that's the relationship.
So it goes all the way down the line. Yeah.
It's amazing. I love it. And that's where, with guys in general that are usually, hey, I'm tough, you know, they will say, oh my gosh, I got to get back for the weekend. I got to get back there as soon as I can. And they will just have the patience of sitting there or just hanging out, you know, in hopes that they come up to them. And, you know, I have some friends that hope that one day they'll get to play a game of chess or checkers with one of them. They're serious.
No, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's possible.
I do too.
Yeah. But you know, I've gone driven in there, and they're all about energy or whatever. And I mean, it's, you know, people, when I talk about them and I say, well, I get this feeling, this energy feeling or whatever. Well, it's the only way I can describe it. A good analogy would be is if everybody's been in love before, but if you had never been in love before and you didn't know anything about it, how would you describe that feeling? It's like an energy, and you know, it feels tangible and whatever, right?
Yeah.
It kind of applies to the Sasquatch, too. It's a little different, but it's a tangible energy that, you know, there's just no denying it when it comes on or whatever, and that connection with that energy is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and that's the difference to me to all the other genres out there of all these interesting things that we all study. I just see that one as it is a pull, it is an energy, and it is something that you cannot deny.
No, I've literally driven in there and been in weeping. Tears, I mean, literally weeping. It's been so strong, and it felt so universal and so, you know, just so amazing that it's just beyond description. Like, I love that I've just never felt, right?
If you're just now joining us, we're talking with Brian Bland, talking about the language of Sasquatch, the spiritual Sasquatch. We're talking about the energy right now here on Coast to Coast. And
you want to look at
I do. But before we go to the pictures and just you guys, you know, he put a bunch of glyphs up featured on our website. But before we do that, you had mentioned that they're teachers. You know, a lot of people go out and say, oh, no, they're just, you know, they're animals or they're this or they're that. But you come from, you know, there's quite a few people that think like you do, that they're actual teachers. They're ancient ones. Tell me about that.
Well, that is how they've been utilizing the glyphs with me. They've been teaching me, like, you know, like I know three or four of the signatures of clan members. When I say a clan member, that's a family member, right?
Right.
You know, like three or four of their signatures, so I know that. And they taught me a bunch of other things with their, you know, with the symbols or whatever, so that I can recognize them. And it's like a school. It starts off really, really simple, like going to kindergarten, and you'll see an X or something, or you'll see a Y stick. And then they'll add something to it, like a stick propped up on it, or to start weaving stuff in. And once they add stuff, they keep it. And then it kind of builds up, like, just like I've always likened it to going to school, right?
Right, okay.
And then as these understandings of what they mean or whatever, and like I said, it's all personal to what you think it means, because they customize it literally to what you think it means, because they're working with you. So when people say, what does the X mean? What does the Y mean? What does this mean? I don't really ponder that, because I think that if they want to work with you with it, it's going to mean what you think it means.
That makes sense.
Right? So,
yeah.
So anyway, so it's very much like going to school, and then you run into situations where you'll get a thought or whatever at a stage of the education, whatever, and then the evidence would be presented right there in the form of a glyph or something, you know. So it's very much like going to school. It really is. I mean, and they, you know, and then there's, you know, those moments of downloads, teachings, whatever, stuff like that. It's
amazing to me that there's a knowing. There's a time where you'll see some of these things and you're pulled to even look in the right direction. You're also, you have a knowing of that's for me and I know what it means. You just know that you know. And I think I love the phrase thought placement. I think that's really cool. So let's go to coasttocoastam.com. Those of you that can, and you know, you guys can hear, you know, just keep in mind, not everybody gets to see these visually, Brian, but so let's take a look at image one. It's great. We have such a great web team, and, Shala Desour put this together for us, but it was so funny. The first one was upside down because, you know, you don't know what you're looking at first, right? You're like, what is this? So he fixed that, and he's just a great guy. So take a look at this first one. What we're looking at is the bottom of a tree, right at the bottom of a tree trunk, and there's the peeled sticks you were talking about.
Okay, so, so originally you had it the other way?
Yeah. Yeah, you might want to refresh your page.
It is right now. Yeah, it's fine now. Okay, so there's a little story behind this. And you see, with the glyphs, they can communicate with you with the glyphs. They can, like, they'll do a drawing or their own little picture or whatever in sticks of what they see you doing, okay?
Uh-huh.
They'll do that, too. Like, I've also seen them do, like, fire rings with little peeled sticks and whatever in it to simulate like a fire ring because they're watching people camping and stuff.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay, because I've seen those. So, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, keep your eye open for them because, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind because I've even seen it like way, way, way out where I camp in the woods where, you know, where it was in direct line with where my fire was. And sure enough, there's that ring with the little peel sticks in there like that kind of simulate fire and whatever. So they're they'll mimic what they see us doing and do little pictures of it or whatever. So this first picture, as you can see, it's, you know, some little peel sticks at the base of that tree, right?
Yep, I'm seeing it. Looks like an H.
Okay. So the previous evening, my girlfriend Sue and I were sitting in front of our tent, and off to the left, Sue says, I hear some heavy breathing in the bush, you know, and it, you know, we knew enough that it was a Sasquatch in there or whatever because, well, you just have to kind of take a leap of faith. I don't have a lot of
you have a lot of that.
we could tell anyway. And she said it was actually a guy called Forshna, Because, you know, when you're connected to them, you can kind of feel their energy, too. Like, I can personally feel the energy of different ones. I can tell by other energy fields who it is sometimes. And she doesn't give herself enough credit. So, anyway, she said, I think that's fortunate. So, anyway, there was heavy breathing, or like something was watching us just off to our left in the woods, right? Or in the bush. And we couldn't have a fire because I think there was a fire ban or something. So we couldn't really see what was going on. And besides, you know, you want to have respect anyway. If you know they're there, you don't want to flash the flashlight in their face or whatever. You'll say, hello, and how you doing, and stuff like that. So anyway, she knew that fortune, as she thought it was there. And I'm a little hearing challenged, so I didn't hear anything. So I'm not going to say I did, but she definitely did. So the next morning, we wake up. And I got to tell you that this time, you know, like, I didn't have my eyes off the path, never when I was in the woods. I was constantly looking for glyphs because they were constantly working with me through them. And so, you know, the night previous, this was just maybe 6 or 7 feet in front of our tent where this was placed. And it was no chance it was there the night before, absolutely not. So anyway, so as I said, we're sitting in our tent that night, right? So mm-hmm. Can you see that it is sort of like the shape of a tent?
I'm seeing like an H.
Okay, well, there's you see the little floor, and then okay, well, to me it's a tent, and there's even the little tent floor, and even the tent pegs that go past it, and then on the roof is the X. Which is a friendship welcome, which is something that they almost always do in their greetings because it's a greeting.
So you believe that the X that you see in structures and even in glyphs are a welcome? You don't think it's, hey, stay away from this area? Because, you know, we get both sides of that, right?
Yeah, and it could be both. But it's
right,
not for me.
Right.
That's my point, right?
So you're saying that you would know. You get a knowing. Okay, you get a knowing.
Yeah. So anyway, so you can see. There's the tent, right?
So right.
The two little sticks side by side in the tent, the two little peel sticks?
I do.
That's my girlfriend and I in the tent. And off on the side, there's a bigger stick exactly where that bush would have been, a bigger stick watching us.
Oh, I love it. That's neat.
So he drew... What happened? He drew him observing us in the tent. I mean, you know, and Sue, when she saw it, said, they even know how to do construct the tent because, you know, there's even the tent pegs that go past the floor, right?
Yeah. So it could be for another, let's say one of their clan walks by, they could even see that, hey, this is what we know is happening. Here's a tent, or maybe, and there's two people in it. I mean, it could be a message. One of the other ones, too.
No, it's a personal message.
You think it's just for you?
Oh, absolutely.
To say, hey, we know what, this is what we say.
Hey, it was us. We're with you. We're family. We love you.
Okay.
Yeah, it was absolutely just for me. And it's not like, hey, look at me. It's just for me. But it is. It was just for me. It's like if they're personal for you. And then working with you, or you've got that connection with them through glyphs or whatever.
I love it.
A lot of people actually have started having.
All right. Hey, Coast to Coast AM is what you're listening to. Connie Willis here.